And Alan, so one of the interesting things that I thought, and in terms of, like even like years ago, now it's like 4 years, like I said earlier, in terms of the last time, we chatted on here, you're like I said, you're my first interview, but I just thought like you were the perfect person, which kind of leads us into that little segue here for our next question, in terms of, I just thought your comic, SPIs Among Us, just sounded really cool, and the art, of course, was just, really classic and like my style. So I was just curious if you could just remind our audience again. And like I said, guys, don't forget, you can always go back and you can look at season one, episode one of this podcast, Alan Silverwood interview, and check it out. Back when I was talking to Alan, in terms of, I think it was issue two, for SBIs Among Us. But just for our audience, who are, might be new and not seen that interview, what was that comic about and how'd you come up with that idea? It was so cool.
Well, for Spies Among Us, what I did was I had this concept of these certain characters, and I kind of thought of them as like really rough-hewn superheroes, but I didn't want to call them superheroes, so I called them super-powered individuals, which came out with the is it an anagram of spies without the E, but spies, SPI with the S, spies among us. And that's like, oh yeah. Now the among the thing, the reason that it's called Spies Among Us is because they, unlike, you get some stories where it's like, okay, all of a sudden, what would the world be like if superheroes suddenly manifested? It's like, I'm like, this isn't a world where they just suddenly manifested. This is a world where they've existed among us in secret. Even in ancient times, it's like, people talk about, your Greek god in the world of Spies Among Us, those guys were spies. They were superpowered individuals is what they were. And so you knew about them publicly, but they were thought of as something else. But in modern times, they were kept secret by a man named Dr. Anonymous, a mysterious guy with this incredible power that I'm like, this is really a neat power that I've never even heard of before, but his
Yeah.
power is what kept them secret. And then he disappears and they're exposed in what is called the exposure event. So there's all of these superpowered individuals running around, they're forming factions, the public is up, in an uproar, like, what is this? Where are these guys coming from? What's happening? It's chaos. And I'm like, I want to throw people right in the middle of that chaos. And then, like, start focusing on some of these guys and what is happening. And there's a group that coalesces into what I'm calling, informally calling the investigators. And they're the group that wants to find, different groups have different people have different goals for this new world where they can be publicly active. And this group is kind of like, maybe we can find Dr. Knows what happened to him. Was it foul play? What happened? Where is he? What was it he was doing? What is his power? Because nobody really understands. It's like a big event would happen and it would expose superpowered individuals to the public, but he would show up and he would make that kind of all unhappen. And like, no matter what happened, destruction, death, whatever, it would all unhappen. And the only people who would remember it would be the superpowered individuals. Public, it goes away. If it was recorded, on the news or whatever, that all vanished. It's like, how does one man literally unmake all of this stuff? Every time this happens, he shows up and keeps them hidden. It's like, how is this guy doing? So nobody knows what his power is. Nobody knows where he is, what's happened to him. So they're out to find him. They're trying to figure out what he could have been doing, who he could have been. They go to a couple of different people who had powers. It's like, well, they, was it a mind manipulation thing, or was it like some kind of tech manipulation thing? So they talked to a couple of guys like that that are part of the deal. And in the meantime, there's all of this stuff kind of swirling around them. They get attacked by some of the factions that are trying to jockey for, you like, now we can use power. Plus, we expose the fact that even though the public didn't know about them, the government, of course, did. And then we find out where they've been keeping spies if they had to apprehend them, and what their plan is now that they're out in public, they have a plan. And there's a group that is working for the government of spies trying to figure that out. So there's all this kind of thing happening. But but the main line is going to be leading to Dr. Anonymous and what he is through this chaos and these certain characters and how they find him and what the actual revelation is, which is mind-blowing what he's been doing. And I've since, one of the things that I started to do from the beginning with this whole thing was I looked at these public domain characters and I started kind of thinking, some of these guys are neat. And, a lot of guys are trying to let's do a new version of that guy. He's public domain now. Let's do a new version of him. And I'm like, I kind of like a little bit of that. But what I like is the idea of pulling some of those guys and doing mashups of some of those public domain guys. And I'm like, that's going to be a thing. These public domain mashups that I've created, which have been pretty interesting. People like them. I'm like, they're a whole faction that is going to come into this story, that are going to play into this story. And I'm going to do them.
That's cool.
I'm going to do a book that introduces them, kind of like just like a one-off, at least to start as a separate piece. That will be another clue, a big clue about Dr. Anonymous. It has to do with something to do with his power. And it's like he's kind of like for the spies in our world, he's been kind of a hero in protecting them and keeping them from, public animosity and whatever. But there are places where maybe he's not seen so favorably. Maybe he's the opposite, of a hero. And that's kind of the point of all of that. But it's definitely a wild ride and a lot of great characters in there. Some fun stuff. And I've had some fantastic art, like you mentioned, I've had some fantastic artists to work with on this that have done some stuff. And some of my covers have been
I would say the
great.
covers have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I'm getting some great stuff, yeah, on those. So that's kind of that's always been kind of my exciting superhero thing that I wanted to do. I've had that for years. And what else? So that was one of my comic properties that I was like, that I have to do. And then I had the steampunk thing that I started developing. It kind of was at the back of my mind, like, I don't know, a dozen years ago or more, 12 to 15 years ago, it started happening. And it just sort of kind of came together and it became Sky Guy and the Altitude Adjusters. I don't know where I got the idea. Altitude adjusters, kind of a play on the attitude adjustment thing, but it's like, what would an altitude adjuster be? And it's like, if it's a steampunk world, it's like, okay, let's take floating cities, and it's like something has to keep them there. They have to stay at this particular altitude. And it's like, what if they were ancient, and only altitude adjusters have this passed down knowledge that know how to maintain these cities? And so they have this kind of dangerous job where they have to kind of go under the city and do things and stuff. And they have these ships, these little like they're almost utility, but they're kind of sleek. I call them sky sloops, and they can fly under the city and hover up there and work on the bottom of this thing. I mean, it's kind of like think of Bespin, but not maybe that high or that weird, but they're ancient cities, and it's like there's parts of them that are deeper that like they're sealed off and nobody even remembers. They're so old, people don't even remember how they got up there or why.
Oh, that's cool.
But, people are living in them. And this guy, Sky Guy, he's a pilot and he runs this outfit. His name is Aaron Sky, and he just calls it Sky Guy and the Altitude Adjusters. That's his team. So
That's awesome.
that's the name of his actual maintenance team. And they're down working one day, and somebody sabotages. They have like there's like 12 turbines, and it's like think of a clock. This is the steampunk play, and think there's 12 turbines around the rim of this floating city that have to be kept up. And these are massive. These turbines are like the size of several city blocks, and you can open up the center, and there's all this gear work in there, and it's all powered by induction of the moisture in the atmosphere is inducted, and then
Oh,
it's
that's cool.
and then it goes through and it's processed and the steam is pushed out and it turns the turbine. I'm like,
Oh,
this, I've
that's
literally got this thing. Yeah, there's a schematic
awesome.
in the Kickstarter campaign. I have a schematic that's going to be
Oh,
in the
that's
main
cool.
poster. that shows just kind of a little bit. It's like really basic. But there's it's got that steampunk thing. And I was like, I'm trying to keep true to that, but it's like a lot of gear punk and stuff. So there's somebody basically turns on. They have this one they're working on turned off because it's like it's huge. And it's like if you're gonna they're working, you could, they can do induction or they can be, the turbine can either pull air in or it can push air out. Pulls air in and you're there, it's like boom, you're sushi, and if it pushes, it pushes you down and knocks you off, which is what happens. Somebody knocks, pushes it into output instead of being off, and it blows sky guy off, and they catch him, and it's like, and then it causes a problem for the Aerotown because they were working on it. So the whole town, basically, it's like an earthquake, the result is that, like, oh, their license is suspended temporarily until they can figure out what happened. And it's like, he did everything right. He's like, what did I do wrong? I turned in my paperwork, everything. I didn't forget to turn in my paperwork. Did you turn in your paperwork? I turned in my paperwork. So it's like, okay, so whatever. So, like, until they can figure out who did this, they're basically like, now what are we going to do? We've got to make a living in the meantime, and we've got to figure out who did this to us. And a couple of other things happen along the way in to kind of try to decide what happens. First off, one of their team is injured severely, and he's the guy who's like, he's like their tech guy. He's the guy who basically can create anything. And really, he's kind of an odd guy because he's, and this is Loras, he doesn't really relate to people as well as he does to machinery. You put a bunch of gizmos in front of him and he can make something. He can sit there and do that. But you put him in a room with people and he's a little awkward. Maybe a subtle autism kind of a thing maybe going on. But he's also created Tom the automaton, which is this little, this little robot. He's supposed to do certain functions, but he's kind of transcended that. He's taken up this, Tom is kind of becoming like, he is, it's not like Pinocchio. It's not like he wants to be a real boy. And it's just, he just has this kind of like tendency to be protective or clingy to Loras, his creator, and he starts to, he's doing things that are not within his, his whatever mechanized, not programming, but his mechanized, parameters. He's working outside of the parameters. So there's like something going on with this robot that Loras built, this automaton. And then there's Loras's sister Serena, who is her skill is, whereas Loras can do all these other gadgets, Serena is specifically weaponry. She can build weaponry, and she's just built this thing that she's got that uses something new. It's not like anything that anybody seems to really know about. What it is it's gathering static electricity, and she can fire.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's basically it shoots lightning bolts.
That's
And
awesome.
she's like, this is it. She's like, oh, there's like this scene in the first issue where she like fires it. She's pissed off because her sidekick basically tried to get her a deal with pirates to sell this to pirates, sell technology because there's pirates, and they're like, they hear about this from this guy that she uses as kind of a go-between to sell stuff. And she wasn't ready to have this one revealed, so she's pissed. So she kind of fires it over his head, and it's like, and it works. It blows the side of a wall out, and she's like, "I don't think pirates should have this," and it's kind of like, "Wow, okay." And she's calling it the Thunder Bluster, which sounds very
Awesome.
steampunk.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So she's developed this thing, but Loras gets hurt in the beginning, and he loses an arm. And in the course of the issue, he comes back, and it's like there's this other arm he was working on. He was actually thinking about upgrading Tom, but he winds up thinking, nah, now I need an arm. And he thinks in his mind it's an upgrade to put on a mechanical arm is an upgrade. for him. You know, it's like for most of us, we'd be like, oh, I'd really like to have my real arm back. But he's like, gee, I can upgrade now. You know, so he winds up putting it on himself. Let's see, Loras, there is one of the things is each of these characters have really interesting character aspects too. Like Serena, she does do some kind of shady stuff. She does kind of like work for the pirates a little bit, but she's still good. She's not, you know, partly it's through her efforts the pirates don't attack that Arrow Town. They leave it alone because she's there and that she has done some things to help them occasionally. What that says about what happens in other ta Arrow Towns is we don't know yet. Now Sky Guy, he's an expert pilot. Think about him as imagine you're a pilot, but your fear, you have the phobia, you have a fear of heights. You know? So it's like for him, every day doing his job, which involves flying and being high up above, I mean, this thing is way above the surface of the planet, of the world, you know. They're way up in the sky, and it's like so every day he's facing his greatest fear, to do his thing. But he's very, very good at it. So it's like imagine being good at the one thing that you're afraid of being of doing, you know. So it's kind of like this is always his. This is his, so he's constantly always like he's like on edge. He's like I'm fine, you know. It's kind of like he has that attitude, like I'm okay, I'm fine. And they're like, yeah, sure you are. But then there's Marbury, who's from the ground. Now the people, the beings who live on the surface of the planet do not look human like you and I. They are mutants, mutated. So Marbury's like this big orange guy with the horns, and he's got like an extra thumb on each hand, and he's big. But he's also like he's very like he's very like literate. He would rather read a book and listen to classical music and stuff. But he's the brute, you know. He's kind of impenetrable, you know. But he is an old friend of Sky Guy, as you can tell. And in the second issue, we'll find out where that friendship originated, and it's a revelation. There's a lot of revelations that come along through this thing. The whole thing, the whole story is basically it's going to be like peeling an onion. It's like it's opening up all the truth about why this world is the way it is and everything it's and where it's going, you know. It's which is a really cool, it's a great story. I'm like, I can't believe how much I believe in this story. It's like as someone who doubts all of your own stuff, it's like this is the story everybody's gonna like. This is a great story if I can get people to find it, you know. But yeah, and it's fun. The characters are great. You know, Marbury has this character. He's this kind of dry sense of humor, which you see in there. So there's humor, there's heart, and there's hope. I mean, the thing is, the story is kind of a story of hope. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen. I mean, obviously, there's pirates that can get involved in there. Some other things I don't want to kind of give away too much, but yeah, but ultimately, this is a story of hope. About the world. We're going to tell it in a fun way, and the adventure is just going to ratchet up. The first issue is kind of like here's the setup, here's the characters, you know, here's your main team and the setup and everything, and that leads to everything that follows is going to be discoveries that unravel things that it's like you didn't even know, you know. These guys are just going on about their daily business. There's the sabotage thing. And then the next thing is like each step they take opens up something new that is like, what is that? And they just have to keep following it. And as they do, it turns everything upside down and wrong side out. And it's a fascinating journey. Like I said, it's heart and it's hope and it's I'm losing my words here. I lose my words. I do that now. Anyway, so yeah. And yeah, I put together the Kickstarter. I actually sat on the book. I got Ryan Best, who's this fantastic artist, especially, I mean, look at the book, look at the art. His art is fantastic. He does great stuff. He just did the cover C, which is like this kind of a schematic of Tom, which is like this
Oh, that's cool.
really, really cool cover. It's such a neat like visual of Tom, and it's like, and that's really kind of important because it's like, what are the things that are happening and changing? You know, like, why are they all so good at what they do? There's a reason for that.
Oh, cool.
There is. It's, you know, it's got
Well,
depth.
I'm curious, like in terms, so I'm always curious when it comes to like steampunk. In terms of like usually two things in particular, which I always find kind of like the most interesting. One, I'm kind of curious that like, so like what technology, like how did you decide kind of like what were some of like, you know, the technological advancements they would have, but then how did you know, kind of apply those to steampunk? Because I feel like the tech is, you know, such an like an integrative process, you know, in terms of the genre. So like just like, you know, if people just click on the description, which I highly recommend for the Kickstarter itself, you know, you can actually just literally see from really like the first like section, right? Like they're already like flying around and stuff. So I'm just curious, like what were like the factors in terms of deciding like the tech they did have, and then, you know, in terms of what did it do, you know, and how'd you make it steampunky, as one of my friends likes to say. But I'm always interested, you know, in like what the tech is that you decided to, you know, put in there, you know, and then, you know, how did you kind of apply that into, you know, you mentioned a little bit already in terms of the cities and, you know, kind of how they're getting around. But I'm just curious if there was other tech, you know, that, you know, you integrated, you know, and changed in terms of, you know, like the society itself. I always think that's just fascinating in terms of the world building for steampunk.
I think you mentioned the trailer. You've got go see the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer, go look at the trailer. It's fantastic. It's really fun, you know. And it's just a good little teaser trailer. And it shows a little bit. Plus the campaign has good stuff. I'll get into that. But the thing about the tech and stuff, it's like I had this concept. It had to involve the floating cities. I'm like, that I need that trope. And I'm like, I want what, you know, in my mind, what I needed it to be. And like, you know, I was like, what are the things that are kind of steampunk? It's like, oh, if I put the turbines at, if I do 12 of them around the city, like a clock, then it's like, you just kind of like take that kind of like clock arrangement. I'm like, that's kind of thing. And it's run by steam and gears. And how does that work? And I'm like, I kind of like figured that out. And it's like, and I put a whole city in there, and I like literally, you know, this in this schematic, you'll see I literally kind of like there's neighborhoods, there's places. And then I started thinking about, well, there's going to be ships, obviously. I haven't really done the pirate ships or the big ships, but the sky sloops, I was like, it's like just focusing on my team, my characters. The direct thing I needed was, what do they do? What do they use? And I'm like, they should have something that's cool. Cool vehicle, but also utilitarian. I'm like, how do I cross the Batmobile with a pickup truck
Oh, that's awesome.
and use steampunk aspects? So I did some, you know, looking around and stuff, and I kind of looked at like, you know, steampunk ships, they all look like blimps and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, these don't look like blimps. You know, that's not going to work. But they could have these little, like, so they've got these little side things that like basically your storage containers, and they have propellers on the back end of them. But then the rest of the ship kind of like, it has like a flat bed in the back with like a fin, and these flip up lanterns, for light, for working at night. They can hover. They're flat on the bottom because they have their own little turbines, which are like the ones that run the city, but they're on the bottom.
Oh, that's cool.
But and they have induction. The front thing where it would be headlights is actually induction turbines to pull in. You know, everything is about taking humidity out of the air, you know, using air humidity. If you don't have a direct water source, you can pull air in and then condense, you know, the condensation can be used. And what you don't see, and what is basically part, is going to be a part of the story, is that they, that somewhere back at the time they developed these zero towns, whoever did developed a like a compressed heat source to heat, to create the heat, the steam, you know, some kind of a compressed heating source. and they can still, you know, run those, use those, reuse them, or even create them. I don't know yet, but that's not really as important. It's just that's the thing. But anyway, so and I wanted these things to have kind of this cool aesthetic. So I was looking at like Art Deco era, you know, cars, which is what you
That's
got
smart.
in Sky Guys, the in the white one. That's what you've got there. It's kind of like that, and then you know, like you've got this, so you've got that whole kind of Art Deco meets steampunk meets, you know, utilitarian, you know, but so that's it. So I gave them these things. And then when it came to the automaton, I'm like, how am I going to make Tom look? And I like, I actually have one of the things that I want to, you know, show people in this thing. I'm, you know, it's, I've done it as a stretch goal, is a behind the scenes thing, which shows some of the preliminary, because I have had several artists. I mean, I don't know, I know, try, if I try to count, is it like maybe a close, it's close to 10 guys over the period from the time that I conceived of this until I got to Ryan. I've had several guys do versions of what I was trying to get to. So there's like kind of the evolution of what became Tom. You know, you can see
Oh,
like
that's
early
cool.
versions of all of them, like what they first looked like originally to what they look like now, you know, as they've kind of, you know, evolved. So I want to show all of that, because that it's kind of interesting, especially with Tom, because Tom was like, what do I need him to be? You know, it's like, how, because he's going to be a thing. What I had kind of thought, the running joke for Tom is that Tom is always going to get banged up or damaged, which he does in the first issue. He gets a couple of bangs and dings, and I'm like, Loris would always be upgrading him. So it's like he would be kind of like, it's like, okay, so every time Lor, every time Tom gets damaged or injured, Loris upgrades him. So he's gonna, he'll constantly be changing. You know, it's like, I just, from the evolution of building him, it's like I started thinking about that as an idea. It's like, oh, what if that's just like the running joke, is that he's constantly a little bit different as we go. It's like physically he's changing, as well as performance-wise, he's changing. It's like, let's do it with a visual cue, which I thought would be kind of a neat thing. Now I'm not so sure how much he's going to visually change. Maybe not quite as much, but you know, a little bit. Going to be different things. Like he starts out short, I might like have him get taller. You know,
That's cool.
like Loris might give him longer legs. You know, like stuff. But we'll see. I actually had some thoughts about Tom today. That's like, okay, yeah, that's something I hadn't thought about, but that actually works. You know, there's some neat, you know, like those, like I was talking about, like those heating, the compressed heating sources. It's like Loris would have modified and created one all of his own, strictly to put in Tom. So Tom has this unique and incredible, you know, source. And it's like that makes him kind of a valuable thing if anybody knew about it, you know. So there's all these things about them that like kind of make them like targets for things, you know. And the pirates, there are pirates in the world, and they're called the Seven Devils, and that's because there's a consortium of seven pirates that have kind of a what's it called? Like if you think in Pirates of the Caribbean, where they have that thing where they parlay and it's all them. It's like there is kind of a thing among them, like an like an like a but it's shaky. It's shaky and it may not hold. One of them is named Python John, and he's actually a, the thing about, I did, I started mentioning the surface people, the mutants. They're called groundlings. I thought that people might consider calling them something like that, but then there's a derogatory term because there's kind of a, they're kind of looked down. They're a little bit more primitive, or some of them tend to be. And people who live in the air towns are like, kind of like, you know, they have like maybe a little commerce with them, but they're not, there's not a lot of love for them. But so they call them ground monsters, is one of the things that they'll call them, which is a very derogatory term, very offensive to the surface dwellers, you know. Like some of the pi couple, at least one of the pirates, Python John, who's a guy who's got like, he's got like snake arms kind of a thing, but he's kind of a bad, he's actually really neat. If you look at the visual, he's kind of a weird looking cat, but he's one of the badass pirates. And there's Scarlet Charlotte, who is just a bloody mean, 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 mean pirate. Yes. And her relationship to the team is something that will be revealed. A little interesting. Quite interesting. But where was I going? Okay, so I was talking about the pirates, the technology and stuff. Kind of lost my train of thought there.
I just thought it was cool when you're talking about, the pirates and like their factions and just in general, I think that that's really neat. And just like the different ones that you have, because I what I think of, not going to talk about he that shall not be named now on here. There's certain, steampunkish, books that I liked that had, the pirates in it and like sky pirates and stuff. And I just, I don't know. In one of the movies, let's say, like where De Niro plays one of the Sky Pirates, I was just like, oh, I just loved like the myriad of personalities. But I always think, I don't know, I guess like, and like even like Treasure Planet, like thinking of like the pirates and stuff. So for me, like when, when you're talking, you're like, yeah, I got pirates, like Sky Pirates, I'm always like, okay, so like, 'cause I don't know, like all my favorite steampunkish. Whether like just stories, I guess, right? Like whether they're comics or video games or movies or whatever, they have the interesting personality, with some sort of pirates or criminals or
Murdered by
rogues.
pirates is good.
So
You
exactly.
know,
So I'm just like,
pirates are always fun. They're always great, and
just
they're a
fun,
big
yeah,
trope. They're a big
yep.
trope of the steampunk thing, and it's like, I was like instantly. I'm like, I knew that if I have these zero towns, there's gotta be pirate raiders. And I'm like, whether or not I
That's fair.
planned to put the trope in, it was gonna be there. Like a lot of this thing kind of came to me. Came, I didn't push it out. It came to me. It's like it developed itself. You know, the characters got up and walked around in my head and told me who they were. You know, it's this is the kind of thing that it is. And they still do. They're still giving me new bits of information, you know. Even though I know the whole story arc and everything and where this goes, which is great. It's a great place. Like I said, it's a story of hope, really. It's amazing that the different characters that I've begun to develop have each one of them will get up and tell me who they are. You know, it's like I don't have to create them, they create themselves, you know. And that's pretty amazing. I'm like, that's why this is such a good book. This is so good. This is gonna be such a good story. I mean, it's like if I can just get people to find it, you know. And I was like, I've gotta save this. I can't, I don't know what that was. Somebody shooting at me
Yeah,
through the window. The pirates. Can't talk about the pirates anymore. Anyway, so
talk too much about the pirates right now. They're coming at
yeah, I'm summoning them. Told you they're telling me who they are.
you.
No, so you know, I kind of, you know, I completed the book, the first issue. Like it's been like a couple of years. Now I've had all these health things that have held, they've held up all of my projects for a couple of years, haven't released as much stuff or anything. And I'm like, okay. So what I want is when I release this book, I want to do it right. I really want to do it right. And I'm like, I don't know how to do it right. I finally get to the point where like, I'm like, maybe I'm waiting too long. I need to put this out. So I'm putting it out. But I'm like, I put a lot of work into like, what can I have? And I got, you know, did I show you, was I showing you this? I made the got had these really
Oh,
nice,
that's cool.
yeah, it's really nice. They're
It's a cool
metal, they're
look.
like solid
Oh, that's
bookmarks
cool.
with I mean, it was the son of a landlord of mine who did the logo originally
Oh,
several
that's
years
cool.
ago, like back in 2014, I think 2015. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna do these because I was told that having something metal in the campaign would be good. Like great. And then I got kind of got hooked up with the guy who does action figures. And I'm like, man, that's the dream is to have an action figure. So there's an action figure, and then that's limited. So it's like if you want one of those, you got to get in. And they're really reasonably priced and they're cool. It's just a very simple, you know, 5 points of articulation, but he's gonna have a gun. And I show that in there. So I put that in. I've got that in there. And I did this whole schematic. I'm like, I got to explain the Aerodance. I'd like to do more for the rest of the things because there's the Thunder Bluster and then there's Sky Guy's gun, which has its own special thing. The Sky Sloops, Tom. I mean, I could do schematics for all these guys, you know. And of course, it's all bogus science. I developed it in my own lab, so we know that we know how much that means, you
Yeah,
know. So yeah, so I did that schematic thing, and then I'm like, okay, people have liked doing cameos in the Kickstarters I've done in the past. I'm like, how cool would it be, like, you know, you get to be a pirate or a groundling, you know, some kind of one of the other in a future issue, in the next
that's
issue
cool.
actually, because I've saved room for this.
Oh, that's
So I'm
awesome.
like, so I'm doing that. But yeah, I'm like, I just wanted to kind of get that in there, do some nice covers, and get the story. Just do it. I've got a really good story with a really good artist, and I'm like, this is the thing. This is the thing that's special. It's like if people read this, they'll love it. Period. I mean, it's like, and I'm not the guy who's confident about everything. I'm always kind of like going, is that really good enough? Did I do a good job? And I'm like, this thing, this is it. This thing is like the thing that I like everything I've done, but this is the thing that I think I can say most, I feel most confident about people loving. Because it's just a lot of fun, and it's the kind of fun that people really enjoy in general, and it's a good time for it, I think, too. So out it comes. It's on Kickstarter right now. By the time you run this, it'll still be on Kickstarter. We've been up for about, tomorrow we'll have only been up for a week. And still got about 30 days left to go because I gave it a few extra days because I wanted to get on there and kind of like get around, start playing with stuff. We're like, I think we're about like halfway to goal at this point, after about the first week. But that, you know, that 30 days goes by fast, and you know how things go with Kickstarters. It's like you get that lull and you're like going, oh, so you get a bang every day, bang out some kind of like thing. I'm gonna put up some ads and stuff. So I'm like trying to get the word out. It's really just a matter of like, look at it, get somebody to look at that. If they watch that trailer, it's like it's irresistible, you know.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. I was gonna say, yeah, send me the trailer again too, because I'll just put, like I did for Spies Among Us, I'll put the trailer up on the channel as well. Maybe for the audio, I'll do something talking about it and then put the link. I'll probably do like put the link for the trailer for the audio, but I totally forgot to ask you about that earlier. But yeah, we could totally do that again, because that was like one of my biggest things was for issue two for Spies Among Us was, I mean, like I had quite a few people check that out, so that was really cool. People love trailers for stuff like
Yeah,
that.
I mean that
I know
it's
I
kind of
do.
like you must do them now, and it's like, and I don't know how to do them, so I had to get a guy to do it for me, and he did a good job. He knew what he was doing, and I got a guy to do some music for it, so it's got a little soundtrack that fits really well. Yeah, I'm gonna
Definitely
have to do
not
one of them.
easy.
I've got the third, and I've got the third issue of Spies Among Us to do too. It's another one that's been sitting there. It's like it's all drawn and everything. And I just need to do it and put it on Kickstarter. I need to do up the Kickstarter campaign. So it's like, okay, so I'm gonna finish this. I've also got Infinite Souls, which is the thing that I did with a bunch of other creators. We each took a character or two of our own and put them together in this kind of supernatural superhero adventure. We did the first one, and I was late getting that one shipped. That one shipped late, but that was again during the middle of my health crises, my multiple health
Well,
crises.
I say I'm still waiting on a game from the pandemic that I backed. Like they've been, I mean, it is what it is,
Oh,
you
I've
know.
had
Like,
things, yeah, I've had things that I've just never got, you know, from you guys. And it's like, well, okay, but it's like I delivered it. And so I'm like, oh, so I've delivered everything I've done, you know, just, and only one of them was late. Most of my things are usually done before I even put them on Kickstarter. Like Sky Guy, it's done, you know, it's like it's ready to ship. It's just the, you know, the only thing that'll be done is like I like to do the last page. I like to do a thank you, you know, to my backers and put them in there. So I have to have that done and then send it to the printer, you know. And then of course there's like, you know, making the add-ons and stuff if I'm gonna have those made. But that's, that's all set up. I know how that is, and that time is built in. Like with spies, I got to put that together and do that one. I'm gonna do a thing for that. But Infinite Souls, and I've got, I'm also working on the novel because that got hung up, the second novel in the Lydania series. I've just gotten the artist back. She had stopped doing covers for a while, the cover artist for my novels, and she did a fantastic job on my covers. So I'm like, I've got to get that second book out, but she's ready to work on the third cover because she started doing covers again now. And I'm like, yes, that's what I needed. That's what I was waiting for. Because now the all three books will have a cover by this artist. And I'm
Oh,
like,
cool.
ah, yes. So that's going to be cool. But that's the Lost Clans of Lydania, the Lost Weaponsmiths of Lydania, and the Lost Lore of Lydania. The Lydania series. And the first book was, it met really well with people, but it's like people thought, it's been so long since I put it out because I got hung up on the second one with all my health and stuff. People don't think I'm going to finish the series. I am. Not only that, but I've got like two or three other things that are like right up there too. So it's like, so I'm doing books as well as my comic stuff.
Well, it's a nice thing about indie, right? It's like, even though, like I know you had like the, like book one cover, done and everything, but like still, like that's the benefit, right? Is that you could just do, like come on the podcast again or do some others, or you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's just I just think it's just the benefit of indie is like people ask me all the time, like that's like Kickstarter, just for instance. Like I've said before on here, like I'm doing like my prequel novellas, and then I'm gonna use the Kickstarter, and I don't really, because I'll have everything else like done essentially, like the editing, everything for all three novellas. But I talked to a couple just absolutely phenomenal artists. I don't want to say their names, in case they have other stuff go on in the future, but I did approach three of like our like really hot like fantasy or urban fantasy like indie artists, and I'm like, hey, I have this Kickstarter, I'll tell you a year out, like I'm really looking forward to getting the cover. So that's like I'm actually like saving the money now, just to get, like a special edition cover, because I'm going to do like my own anthology, and then I'll have the cover done and then release it. So the Kickstarter is really just going to be like essentially like, just covering like that cost. I'm
That's,
hoping
I mean,
to.
that is kind of the thing for Kickstarters. It's like I'm not making a profit on any of my Kickstarters. It's literally covering most of my expenses. Some of it is just me eating it. And I'm like, I'm willing to do that to get this stuff out for people, to get this to people. It's like I'll eat a little bit of it or as much as I can. Of course, now I also am unemployed. My job of 20 years, and I came back from work. I mean, I came out of work for Marvel Comics on their staff. I was a staff guy there years ago for a while. Then I was at Paramount Pictures. I worked there for a while. I worked on some cool things. And then I worked for Hot Wheels at Mattel for 20 years. And then now I'm like finding myself for the first time in, a very long time out of work. And it's like it's really rough right now. I'm going, now I'm at this point where like it's like, how much am I going to be able to do this stuff unless I can get it? I mean, the point of Kickstarter is to do the funding, and it's like, okay, but I'm like, I wanted to have my stuff done beforehand, and you've got to pay for it to do that. But I did do the Infinite Souls thing backwards, and that's kind of why it was late, because it's like if something happens, then it's like you don't have your book done. You can't just ship it. You got to wait until you're well enough to get it put together. And I'm like, okay, so if I do a book again, like I did Infinite Souls, I will have to know that I will be that I will have everything lined up and ready. I mean, also I lost an artist on that book. He quit. It's like, so I had to go and replace him. And there were like a
Time
lot of things.
consuming.
It was like this cursed book, dealing with supernatural and dark forces and stuff. And I'm going, oh, maybe it was just cursed. But we got it together and it came out nice. But yeah, so it's like, so I learned a lot about like, okay, it's like if I am going to do this without having a finished product at hand, I can do it and make it happen and not have that happen. Also, it's just about estimating, your time and just having things in place and knowing that the guys you've got in place are reliable. Once I have all that, that's not a problem. And I've got that now. But the second issue of Infinite Souls is in progress, and
Oh, cool.
that'll probably be my next Kickstarter after Sky Guy. And then we'll probably jump back to Spies, and then the companion book that I was talking about for Spies. also have a manga inspired or manga adjacent book called Annihilation Zone, which I've done some work on. And I've talked to a guy who's fantastic artist for doing that. If I can round him up for that, that's another thing that I might do. But I also have Sky Guy 2 in progress. And I'm hoping to get back around to that by the end of the year. So this is the year that I'm hoping to put out like five Kickstarter. And I've only done three in the past. So I'm like, I'll more than double, what I've done by the end of this year. But it's all good. It's all like in the right place. It's just,
Now
let's
I have
hope.
to ask you, Alan, because I'm just curious, like, so because personally, like Spies Among Us, like I love superhero like fiction. I'm like real addicted to like Raptors by Jamie Castle. Like I went through all six really quick. Jamie Castle and CJ Ballin. Love the world they built. I can't wait to for them to pump out more. They can't do it quick enough. Like Jeffrey H. Haskell's Full Metal Superhero. And he has like his Wraith series that like are finished and everything. So I'm like almost done with those, but superhero fiction is really hard. I would say like steampunk, like finding a really good one nowadays too, because a lot of the market book wise, people, have shifted markets, which I get. But I'm just curious, like, if you find yourself, particularly with like Sky Guy, Altitude Adjusters, where people really love the comics, and everything, and you're able to do more. Have you thought at all about writing books, in the world as well? Like if people,
Well,
if like
I actually, yeah, it's funny you should ask because one of the next big projects that I wanted to do, I wanted to make sure I finished Lydania. I have a couple of other novel projects in the works, but the next big series that I have is a steampunk series.
Oh, cool.
And it's really cool. It's a really cool concept. It's basically, it's kind of an alternate history slash steampunk. It's like imagine if the United States didn't come to happen. Imagine if the Revolutionary War had failed and England had stayed in control of the colonies. And periods of time go by and certain things that happened in history historically happened. For example, England banished slavery in its colonies by like what was it, 1808 or something, which is like a good 50 plus 60 years or something before our Civil War banished it here. So like I'm setting it, this story that I have is kind of like this. I mean, the concept essentially is it's 1850. England still is in charge. There is steampunk in the world, but they've never. But the United States has not expanded because it doesn't exist. There's still this nebulous land that there was never a Lewis and
That's cool.
Clark expedition. The Spanish still own like the West Coast, and you get up to the mid 1800s, like 1849, 1850. I'm kind of thinking 1851, and somebody discovers gold on this coast. Now, you know what happened when they did discover gold in 1849, gold
That's
rush.
interesting.
But it's like, but now you've got this thing that happens, and it's like there's kind of this territory that may be a little bit disputed still. It doesn't belong to the United States, So it's like, okay, now everybody's going to try to like jockey for that land and go there. So who can get there the fastest? And what can they do about it? And what factors factor in? So Lewis and Clark has never happened. The gold rush is about to happen, but it's not going to happen the way we had it happen. It's going to take someone who creates. Now there was the, Queen Victoria had the Crystal Palace at the Great Great Exhibition in London, which had happened in what year was that?
Oh man.
Was it 18, they, sometime in the 1840s, I think, Prince Albert was the driver behind that. But I looked at that and I started looking at who was at the Great Exhibition. And I'm like, it's amazing the people who were there, because there was things that I'm like, I need this thing, I need this thing, I need this thing. And it's like, I looked at the Great Exhibition, who was there and what they had, and I'm like, oh my God, these guys are there. These guys are there. This guy was there. This guy was there. Everything I need was there. So they could have done the people that I need to do the thing that I need. That was all right there. So coming out of that Great Exhibition, then I have this big event start to happen. And it's like, well, what does Queen Victoria want? She wants to get there. She wants to get to that goal. It's like, well, how are we going to get over there? It's like, what's the fastest way? It's like, well, now the dirigible has not been invented in France at this point in time in our history, but they've started to kind of conceive it and play with it. And I'm like, I can do something with that. And I'm like, what about a glass bottom airship
Oh, that's cool.
that is racing across the unknown wilds of
That's
unexplored
cool.
America? It's basically doing what Lewis and Clark did, but it's the gold rush. And there's of course competition from the French, the Spanish, and maybe a couple of other nations. And who's the bad guy? So that's the concept. So that
Oh,
whole
that's
thing is
awesome.
this concept. And that's my book. I shouldn't even, I don't know if I should even be saying that out loud, because I'm like, I've kept that close to the cup, because I've started writing it and I've done tons of research on it. And I'm like, this is totally going to be like alternate history. And it's like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of research. I'm like, but it's alternate history, so it doesn't have to be accurate. I can fudge a lot of things. But what I have found is that I'm able to take a lot of things from where they were and move them into where I'm trying to go in ways that make sense. And
Oh,
I'm
that's
like, I
cool.
love that. I'm loving that so many things fell into place when I had this idea. And then I went researching and I'm like, I found so many things that fell into place for what I wanted. It's like, oh, that's amazing. I can totally use that. And that's actually a real thing. People could go look that up and go, that actually happened. That was actually a thing. And I'm like, yep, that's what I'm trying to do. So it's like, plus there's things that are absolute poppycock, bollocks, complete bollocks, but that's steampunk,
Well, it's funny because
so
a lot of my students, like, that's like their thing. They're like, do you know anybody that's done this type of alternate history book? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't. They ask me all the time. They're like, well, what if this? I'm like, I had a friend who him and I talked about doing a book where where the Native Americans in mass quantities like did discover like iron and steel and work with them, right? Not just discover but work with them, and then like created a different society so that when when the Europeans get here, they actually get their booties kicked pretty quickly. I think like Joe Lee, Joe did something pretty similar and then brought some fantastic elements and stuff. So but I just think it's so funny that they love that. So I see alternate history or alternate historical fantasy or sci-fi or steampunk. I don't know. I see like younger generations are telling me more and more that that's what they like. So, and I love that because I love history. So I think that's just really
Geronimo
interesting.
is going to be in my book.
Oh, well, if you didn't add Geronimo, I'd probably be upset. So
Osceola may be in my
oh
book. An
yeah.
old He's a really cool character, and he died younger than he would have in my world. So like an
Yeah.
old Osceola might be
Oh,
in
that'd
there
be
at the beginning.
cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah. There are some other interesting characters that may pop up. Of course, they weren't who they would have been. Now, if you've
That's
ever
what's fun.
read the Alvin Maker books by Orson Scott Card, I think when I read them, it was years ago, so I don't remember them very well, but I think it's kind of steampunky. I mean, Alvin
That's what my
Maker,
friend
he's a
was saying.
maker. I mean, they're kind of steampunky. He uses a lot of people from history,
Oh, that's
like I think
cool.
Abe Lincoln wanders through, and I'm like, that's kind of a natural thing. It's like, if you're talking about the 1850s, you've got an Abe Lincoln. It doesn't mean that there was a United States or anything. And in fact, I think in the Alvin Maker books, we don't have a United States either, if I remember correctly. But that's not an uncommon thing to have as an alternate history thing, is where the United States didn't happen. It's interesting, as I'm doing it and doing the research, I'm kind of looking at a few things. I'm kind of going, it might have been better. Didn't win there.
I'm sure
There's
quite
some
a few
interesting
groups.
there are some
Quite a few
interesting
groups would say
things
that.
there are some interesting things that happened faster outside of the United States that were better, for humanity. But no, it's we had to be here. There was an important reason for us to be here. I mean, who would have fought the Nazis in World War II, right?
Yeah, you know, that's what my friend with for alternate history, like that's where it was interesting because he did just like as a side note, which is so interesting, but like it was like he did like, you know, like colonial times, didn't have the United States, you know, like stay with Great Britain, but then like kept going with that, like, well, what if? And then got to World War II, actually got to World War I, essentially, and there was just a bunch of stuff, right? And it, like there were like he basically made it where like the Germans were together still, right? And didn't like, you know, pull themselves out, or the Russians, like the Russian Revolution didn't happen. So there was all these
Right,
things. And
right.
then he left the interwar period changed, but then he still had Hitler's rise. And it was like without the United States. Like it was just like an interesting, you know, parallel of like what if we had not been here, you know, like that kind of thing. And it was a very interesting, you know, like concept that he was working. I don't know if he ever even published it. I hadn't seen it anywhere, but it was just so interesting just to, you know, to think about that. But that was like his theme, is like kind of going, you know, like from start to finish. It was really interesting. So
When you do ultimate history, you start to think about those things. I mean, I came up with one of the things in this story is, we tried this revolution and it failed. But let's say we get into the early 1800s, about the time of Andrew Jackson and the war, what was that? The War of 1812. So somewhere between the War of 1812 and the 1845, Mexican-American War, whatever. It's like, what if there's a war in there that replaces that? That's actually the Civil War, because what it is a second revolution attempt,
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So like there's so like you can raise some interesting characters up out of that in a second revolution attempt, that fails, because it's actually, it's not the good guys, it's like these are kind of like not the good guys, trying to do the revolution, versus the guys that did it that were kind of, they were, we think of them as the good guys. In the second revolution, it's kind of like the Confederacy, it's kind of like not necessarily the good guys. They're kind of like rebelling against England's, it's kind of like, well, what was a big thing about our Civil War? It was like ending slavery. Well, when England abolishes slavery in 1808, which is close to 1812, the Southern colonies are still using slave labor. So why wouldn't that have set them off and go, no, we want to be our own country so we can keep our slavery? So it's like, so you still get kind of a civil war, but what it really looks like is a second attempt at a revol at a revolution, a breakaway from England, except that you've got, not just the colonies that want to stay with England, against them, but you've got England itself, going, hey, no, so you get that. And like, it's like, I think Andrew Jackson, it's like, I need to do a little bit more research on him, but he's not a very favorably viewed character. He was
Oh, I
kind of
can't stand him.
he's
Yeah,
kind of
I
a he's
definitely
kind of
think
a
he should be replaced by Harriet Tubman on the 20.
So, well, exactly. So
I
I'm kind
make
of like,
change. I'll be honest, I make change. I'm like, oh, I have a 20. When I do have change, I go, can I get somebody else, please? Not like everybody's that
well,
much better, but
so I have the opportunity to take him and make him like Jefferson Davis. He's the bad guy. So I make, I can make an Andrew, Andrew Jackson the bad guy. But it's only in historical perspective, because my story takes place several years later. So he would be in the rearview mirror, a bad guy. And it's like, that was the second revolution attempt, and that was, crushed, And so what we have is a country where there is no slavery. And I'm like, I was trying to figure it out. I was actually talking to a friend of mine. I was like, how do I figure out how to end slavery? Because I don't want the slavery in my steampunk novel in 1850. And it's like, well, we didn't have the United States, so how could I justify that there's not slavery anymore? And then I realized, it's like, oh wait, if we're still a British colony, the British ended slavery in 1808. It's 1808 or 1809. They in all of they abolished slavery in their colonies. So I'm going, so it's gone. I'm like, and it's been gone for years by the time of my story. And I'm
Yeah.
like, perfect. I don't have, I don't want that. I don't want that to be part of the story. I want that to be like, it's not about that. I don't want that to
Yeah.
be a thing. I don't want that to be an aspect of it. I want it to be like, that's already been dealt with,
Yeah.
and
That's fair.
there's other things that are being dealt with. So
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to like, I'm like, I wanted that. I'm like, that's so cool, actually, and it's like, I hadn't realized that until I started researching it. And I'm like, that's really cool. That actually works well for me and my
Yeah.
story. And I'm like, and that's actually kind of a cool thing to know, it's kind of
Yeah.
interesting that
Yeah.
they did that,
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what's interesting about, just doing stuff like that in general with alternate history. So it's always really cool and really fun. Highly recommend it to the crowd when you're listening or watching. I know we're wrapping up on time here, but I just want to make sure, Alan, in case somebody's catching us late for some reason or skipping the interview, which what people do, it's okay. But they're trying to go to that last question. Just want to make sure we're really hammering home. Your news updates, particularly things, with, your current Kickstarter, particularly because this is the week, where it's still running, for, a little bit here, for almost a month. So I just want to make sure, we left you room for that, before we head out. That way, we could tell people again about it and where to go and things like that, and, get you some views.
So I mean, Sky Guy, it's Sky Guy and the Altitude Adjusters. It's on Kickstarter. You're gonna put a link there, right?
Yep, it'll be down. It is live. I just want to keep repeating that. It is a live Kickstarter as of right now. So
Yeah,
right now we're on like the Saturday, we're February 1st. So you guys got some time left, got several weeks here. So just a little under a
only
month
until the
here.
20th. I think
Oh,
it's the
20th? Okay.
20,
Sorry,
only
misspoke.
until the 20th of February. And don't wait
20th of
until the
February.
last. Don't wait to the last minute, because there are some limited items in the thing. And it's like, I don't know if, if they're going to go fast or not. But it is better to get in earlier. Plus, it also makes the campaign more likely to succeed to get in earlier. It helps us get there by getting there faster. And if we go over, it's even better, because then that gets to the next issue, which when you finish the first issue, you're going to be waiting for the second issue. I promise you. You're going to be like, I need that second issue and I need it now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, I'll have it ready. I'm working on it. We've already got pages in. Ryan is actually already done that. Did I show a couple pages in the campaign of his beautiful artwork? But yeah, so it's like, you'll want to get in there, and get it. And it's a beautiful book. With this kind of art, it's really good. There's several covers, but that third cover is kind of, there's something special about that one. The second cover is kind of a, it was me trying to get kind of a riff on the old original Star Wars poster.
Oh,
And
yeah, I
it's
can
like, there's
see
a
that.
little bit of that in that second one by Oliver de la Cruz. The first one is just basically, here's Sky Guy, boom. And then there's the Star Wars kind of riff. And then the last one with the Tom thing, which is kind of cerebral. It's really neat.
It's cool schematic. It's a cool schematic for sure. That's awesome.
But you only get that cover with print. You don't get that with a PDF.
I just want
PDF's
to point
just the
out,
first
guys,
cover.
$35 for, which I believe I read, right? My contacts must be up today, but I believe $35 for three prints, right? For all is
You
what
get
the,
all three covers.
that's, I've just paid $25 for one print, or 20 bucks for, $22, which was a great comic, like another one that I backed, but, and it was great and it was awesome. I can't wait for issue two, but, to get three, awesome covers, in terms of physical copies, I just want the audience to know, like, that's a really great price, just saying. So
We're already hitting. I mean, we're like this close to hitting our first stretch goal, which is that schematic mini poster, which people are gonna love. And then the next, we've got some PDFs from some cool books from some of my cohorts in the field. And then I think the third stretch goal will be the behind the scenes thing, which will show the journey of all of the characters and some of the equipment, like early versions up until now, like different versions as they've grown and evolved, which is kind of neat. And I'll tell a little bit more of the story about like some of the original ideas and stuff that kind of like maybe didn't make the cut, but So yeah, so there's quite a bit. Plus, there's some cool stuff in there that you can also get Spies Among Us. I put that in there as add-ons if you wanted to pick up copies of that somehow in the add-ons of PDFs or print copies with all the different covers that have been done for that, which we talked about. And that's it. I mean, you can get in on being, I mean, there's limited edition, I mean, a limited amount of cameo appearances if you want that, which will be special. There is a limited amount of commissions I didn't mention. Commissions by Ryan Best. Ryan Best is doing commissions, and
Oh, cool.
he will be doing them, and you will actually get the physical commission. It's not just a
Oh,
digital
that's
commission.
awesome.
You're going to get a physical drawing from Ryan Best. So that, and he'll do, whatever you want. It's not just these characters. It's like whatever you want him to do.
That's
He's
cool.
also doing a superhero book. So he does anything. He can draw anything, believe me. But he's great with creatures. And it's like that was one of the things I loved, I think, the most about bringing him in. It's like, because if I've got these ground mutants, and I'm like, these are going to be all kind of weird different things, and it's like he can do that so well. So
Well, that's awesome. So again, like we said, you guys can find, the link right in the Kickstarter. I'll put the trailer link in there too. I'm gonna try to put the trailer up on this channel too. So there'll be a few links in there for you guys to check that out. I look forward to it, Alan. Definitely. I'm a little upset about Kickstarter, not my app not notifying me because I followed you like 3 weeks ago or whatever, as
I
soon as
don't
we
know,
talked about
man.
this. So
I know they're
Kickstarter, you
playing
guys gotta be
games.
careful with the app, man. Gotta be careful. So you can't trust the app all the time, apparently. So I'm a little miffed at the Kickstarter app right now. But I'm excited to back this one, like Spies Among Us. So I hope that, people will check it out. But I look forward to reading it myself. I'm actually going to be reviewing comics now. So I'll definitely, once I get that done, stretch goal and everything. I hope everything works out. And then, once we, get all the copies and everything, I can't wait to do that between, like issue one and two. Hopefully help you out, with, the second issue for the next Kickstarter. But yeah, but thank you
Thank you.
so much again for coming on, Alan. It's great to have you back. And after so long, I
Yes.
kept
It's
thinking, I
always
gotta
fun.
get Alan back. I gotta get Alan back. And I just
That's
had
kind of
so many
awesome that I
people.
didn't realize I was your first guy. That's really cool.
So this is cool. So it's kind of
That's pretty cool.
serendipitous, I think. It's a good little check-in for us to kind of see what's going on and stuff. But
Very
yeah,
cool.
but Alan, thank you so much. Like I said, if there's anything else I can do, I got a lot of stuff I'm gonna put up the next several days for you. So hopefully, we'll get everything
Thank
out
you
there.
so
I'll tell
much.
my peeps. Yeah, not a problem. If there's anything else I can do in the meantime, please check out the newsletter, guys. I'm gonna put my newsletter in the link. You'll be able to check out Alan's Kickstarter in there. You'll be able to check out a bunch of other people for cool stuff that they got going on this month. So please, please,
For
please,
fun stuff.
back those people, follow them. We'd love to get Alan to that the projects we love on Kickstarter. That would just be really, really cool. Make my month. It'd be really awesome.
That'd be amazing.
Be a great little check-in for this point. Yeah, right. In terms of 4 years on the podcast. But Alan, again, my friend, you know where to find me. If you need anything at all, I'll be sending a bunch of stuff your way and we'll be chit-chatting. That way, we can get everything out, with the Kickstarter. But if there's anything else I can do, my friend, you just let me know. But other than that, I hope you have a good rest of the day. And I really look forward to, whether you talk about, issue two for this one or, issue three for Spies Among Us, like whatever it is, I, look forward to our third interview and the next project. So
I'll keep you posted.
You let me know. We'll
Always
get you
work.
back on. All right,
Yeah.
buddy. Well, I will talk to you later. I'll message you soon on Facebook. But other than that, good luck with the Kickstarter and I will be
Thank you.
back on that when I get home. So I can't
Thank you
wait
so
to
much.
see it be successful. I'll see you later,
Appreciate it.
buddy.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Hang in there.
You too.